Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises, just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
The Freedom Number Cheat Sheet 2.0. That's today's show. Let's get into it. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. And this is the show where we talk about passive income, acquiring performing assets in order to provide monthly cash flow for you and your family. Now, you can go out and do it any number of ways, right? You can buy gold. You can do other sorts of things. We buy real estate. We buy and hold real estate for the rest of our lives. That's the goal. And many years ago, we launched the Freedom Number Cheat Sheet. And it really has been like the driving force behind our lives, our goal sheet. But in the past few months, we've revisited it. We decided to go back to the drawing board and do it from the ground up, basically rebuild it, right?
We just changed a few things about the Freedom Number Cheat Sheet. This is the giveaway you probably have already received if you'd signed up for either Clayton's newsletter, his personal newsletter, or Morris Invest newsletter, or there's so many ways we've given it out through other podcasts,
right? Let me just say right up front where to get it so you can have it and follow along.
Okay.
All right. So you can just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom, and it's free. It's like a 3-page PDF. You can download it right there. So let's just start off on the right foot.
Okay, so that's where you get it. And if you already have it, you might want to go and get another one, because over the winter break, we decided to revise it a little bit for a couple of reasons. One, we wanted it to focus more on performing assets, less about like what your assets are, but more about how to take your budget and transfer your money into performing assets. And we're going to break that down later in the podcast. And we just wanted more of a like flow that you could go through with your own number. So we just decided it needed some refresh. So we're going to go over it in today's episode. And if you're new to us, or maybe you don't remember what the Freedom Number is, basically the Freedom Number in sort of the elevator pitch, the Freedom Number is the amount of money you would need in cash flow per month to be free, so that you don't have to have a day job. You don't have to slave away for a paycheck. You can live any life you want to, right?
Right. And you heard us talk about it in our story. We did the 5-part series where we talked about this sort of eureka moment, this epiphany that we had where we couldn't pay the mortgage. Like, I was in tears, basically. Natalie came to me and she's like, we can't pay the mortgage this month. And at this point, we had 2 cash flowing performing rental properties. Mm-hmm. And I was making great salary as a news anchor. And we couldn't pay the mortgage. And Natalie said, well, you know, how many of these rental properties do you think it would take us? What if we could just walk away from the day job and never have to worry about it again? And that's when I sort of jumped up with my dry erase marker in my hand and said, that's it. Let's figure this out. That would be the Freedom Number.
Yeah.
How many rental properties would it take for you to live financially free? And how much passive income would it take for your family to be totally safe?
Right. So at that time, we were a slave to our liabilities, because most of our money was going towards liabilities for unfavorable loans, right? A car loan, a credit card loan, 2 mortgages we had. And so we were finding it really hard to live even with that 6-figure paycheck, the lives that we were leading with 2 kids at the time. And also, we were waiting for a contract. So we were living inside of a paycheck, Clayton's day job, and they weren't returning his phone calls about whether or not they were going to give him another contract. They eventually did. They did this to him twice. And so we would get really anxious around that time. And we would say, well, you know, I hope that. I remember every time we would buy a car or we would buy a new house, we'd say, okay, we can afford this at least for the next 2 years or 3 years, but when that contract's up, we're not sure. So those months would sort of creep towards us and we would think, okay, are we still going to be able to live this life? So I remember saying to you, well, what if I said, I'm pretty sure they're going to give you a contract this time. Well, but what if next time? Why do you keep interrupting me? What is it you're trying to say?
I'm just saying, because there's some context for this. I did lose my job years ago. Uh-huh. I did have a contract that wasn't renewed.
Right.
When I was in Philadelphia. and I was there and they just didn't renew my contract. They're like, you know what? We're exercising the out in your contract and bye-bye. I was like, whoa. Punch to the gut. So there was some context for having this contract not be renewed.
Well, yeah. I mean, that happens in the news business all the time. That happens in any business, right? It's just employers have a right of refusal. And so we were sitting there and we had owned these two properties. And I said, well, what if we owned enough in rental income, or we had enough rental income that next time this happens to us where we're not sure about the next contract, we didn't need it. And we would just say, well, okay. And actually that did happen, because you lived out that 2-year contract. And then 2 years later, we had hit our freedom number and they did the same thing to you. They didn't call you back for several months. And we were like,
This, it's so bizarre how this happens. You'd think, okay, you know, there'd be like an alert going off on their computer system. It's like, okay, you're the anchor of one of their most popular shows.
Right.
Maybe we should get paperwork in place so that you're going to continue doing that.
Right.
And honestly, they're human beings and they just sort of ignore it. And, you know, my agent would sort of reach out and be like, hey, are you going to, you know, get Clayton a new contract and get him signed? And they'd be like, oh, we didn't realize he was, we'll get on that. And then months would go by.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing the job, but I don't have like a contract. I literally the following weekend could have just said, okay, I guess
we don't have a contract. I'll just not show up.
I just won't be here. But of course, I didn't do that. And they would wait like months and months and months. And then they would come to me and they'd be like, hey, we'd love to do like a new 3-year contract. And, you know, we love having you. And here you go. And so be like, great. Why did it take you 8 months?
Yeah. So
they got bigger fish to fry, though, I guess. You know, they get people like...
Well, we can have any kind of conjecture over why that happened. And if we told you the months that it happened and you went back in the news cycle, you'd see that they were busy with other things, right? But nevertheless, the point is, all we really cared about was how it affected us in our household.
Right, and then we're nervous the whole time.
And we felt nerves, right? And we thought, well, okay, we'll pay the mortgage this month. That's pretty good. And then next month, maybe, we don't know. So... I'm sure everyone has that sort of fear inside of their own job. There's no such thing as real job security, right? So everyone feels like, oh, I wish I didn't have to have this job. Even if you love this job, even if you're doing the job of your dreams, if you're living by your paycheck and you have no real plan to ever not have that paycheck, then you're not truly free. So, you know, a lot of people write us and they say, I hit my freedom number and now, I mean, great stories, right? We're not encouraging people to hit their freedom number and then scratch themselves on the couch for the rest of their lives. Like, people
you
hit
could.
Their, right.
If that's your
that's
hobby.
Your dream and that's how you.
To scratch yourself on a couch.
That's your personal legend, right? But a lot of people can, once you're free, right, then you, I just feel like people who are financially free would make the world better, not worse. Like, people don't just sit around.
Well, you don't live, and you don't live with the anxiety and the fear. You know, when you live financially free, you can act free. You can act kind. You don't have to wake up with, you know, your heart palpitating because you've got to go off to this thing that you don't want to deal with anymore. And you have to leave your family behind, or you have to, you know, travel 2 hours to and from work. We get emails from people, clients of ours who work with us who are in the military.
Yeah.
You know, they've got 6 or 7 properties with us and they're like, I'm 2 properties away from hitting my freedom number. And then I don't have to travel. I don't have to be on a submarine anymore. I can be with my family. I've not been able to see my son grow up. So there are all sorts of reasons why you would want to do this. But we should start with step one. So the revision of the Freedom Cheat Sheet starts with step one, which is you've got to know your numbers. You've got to know what your family budget is. So when you print out the cheat sheet, you'll sit down with your spouse, your partner, and open up your laptop and start to go through all of your data points. Look through your bills and start to see, because I guarantee you there are things that you're not accounting for on your bills, right? You might be paying for Netflix twice. You might be paying a weird electric bill that you didn't even know about. You might have some old thing open from 5 rental properties ago where you lived when you were 25 that's still being charged to you.
Yeah.
Right?
You can use any manner of software to calculate your budget. Basically, you want to figure out how much money you're spending each month on your current lifestyle. So your mortgage, your car payment, right? Cable, electricity, all utilities, gym membership, perhaps. I always put a budget in our budget for, like, I call it entertainment, which is like a date night. Either we go to see a movie and then we have to pay childcare on top of that. So I try and give us a certain amount of budget for that.
We went and saw Black Panther the other night,
which was excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah. So good.
But, you know,
but we got free childcare for that because my dad was visiting. So I saved a little money there, but, you know, any number of apps will do this for you. Mint does it, where it'll just look at your checking account for credit cards for a few months and say, will you spend this, right? So give yourself just kind of a ballpark figure of what you spend and try and be accurate, but don't, you know, nitpick.
So there's a new app that just came out. I saw it advertised on Instagram the other day. So I bought the app, or it's free. It's a free app. It's called Hiatus. Mm-hmm. Hiatus. And you sign up.
You're taking a hiatus from the point here, but
okay. No, I'm telling you, but you go through, this is an important piece of software. It'll go through.
Do you know that? Have you actually used it, or is just well reviewed in the app store?
It's well reviewed.
Don't do this then. Don't go off on a tangent.
So
please.
Hiatus, you should check it out
all
because
right.
you sign up and it'll
he
show you.
You should check
all
it
your
out.
Would you stop interrupting me? Mm-hmm. You'll see all the subscriptions that you're paying for, and it'll add up all your subscriptions, and it'll actually let you know that, hey, you're paying for an AT&T subscription. Here's a way you can save $20 with this AT&T subscription. So anyway, Hiatus, it's an app for your iPhone. I'm sure it's on Android as well. So check it out. I don't know. Maybe it's good.
Truebill does that as well, and it will unsubscribe for you on those things where it'll say, hey, you're paying $4.99 for this thing. Do you still want it? And you'll say, no. And then they unsubscribe you from that service, which is also awesome. Okay, so now you've got your monthly budget. You know, and we have an example in the Freedom Number cheat sheet of a budget of about $5,000. So this is a family that lives off about $5,000 per month. Now, that's not your Freedom Number. That's just your survival number. That's what you need to live your life currently, right? But we want to expand that a little bit because we're dreaming here, right. So we might as well. So let's pretend you're just that much more free than your current survival number. So we add 10%. So in our example, you take $5,000, you multiply it by 10% or 0.10, and you get
$500.
$500. Right is wrong. Yes, $500.
So that little padding a month. So that, you know, again, that date night, that little trip, you know, that weekend getaway, you want to go to Great Wolf Lodge or whatever it is, you know, you're padding it so that over the course of a few months, you have that additional income, you have that additional pad there so you can take that summer trip. So that, again, it's not just your survival number, it's your freedom number that all of our bills are taken care of. And if we want to go on those family trips, we want to extend ourselves a little bit, that's all covered as well.
Right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Sanebox, Sanebox. Now, if you asked me the single biggest workplace time waster, I don't even have to think about it. You know my stance on this. It is email. Email is the worst. In fact, a recent study found that almost 50% of the time that managers spend tending to their inboxes is spent on emails that should never have been sent to them or didn't even need to have an answer in the first place. But what if you could just press a magic button and never see those time-wasting emails ever again? Well, that's exactly what Sanebox does. With just a few clicks, Sanebox automatically gets your email under control. I love it. Honestly, I don't know what I would do without Sanebox. I use it on 3 of my different accounts right now. And it filters out all of the messages that don't need your focus. And you don't even have to switch email apps. So if you like using Gmail, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yahoo, it works in concert with whichever email client you already use. It also has some really nifty features like Sane Black Hole. I love this, where you can basically take an email from, like if you keep getting those really annoying emails from a spammer, you can just vanquish them, send them, you never want to hear from them again, drag it into the Sane Black Hole, and you'll never get an email from that person again. And Sane Reminders, that's great too, because you can actually set reminders for your future self. So if you want to set a reminder to follow up with this person next Wednesday, guess what? You can do that. You can customize it so that email will pop back up right when you need it. It's so great. I love it. See how Sanebox can magically remove distractions from your inbox with a free 2-week trial. Give it a shot for free. You can't miss that, right? That's great. All you need to do is go to sanebox.com/investing so you get that $25 credit as well. Because if you start the trial and then if you decide to sign up, you'll get a $25 credit when you sign up. So here's how you spell it, sanebox.com/investing. Make sure you go to that URL, sanebox.com/investing. We are super excited about it. I love Sanebox.
And it gets me down to Sane Box Zero every day. So that way I don't have to deal with emails on a regular basis. Thanks, Sane Box. I love you.
Okay, and this is an income, right? It's not like you put it in a glass jar for a rainy day. This is, you have this income coming in. All your accounts are sort of spoken for with your money. So then if you get a flat tire, you have an extra 10%, you're good, right? If you want a budget inside your budget for saving money as well, you can do that. It's not in my sort of sample, but whatever it is you spend your money on now. Okay, now you calculate your performing asset cash flow per month. So you look at what you own inside your family that is currently cash flowing. Now, most of the time, the only thing you own that is currently cash flowing is your own body, right? Most people are their only form of cash flow.
In a paycheck.
Your labor, your paycheck. You have to get up and go somewhere in order to get a performing asset, which is your paycheck, right? It's dependent on you. So what we're trying to encourage you in this cheat sheet is to look to see what other performing assets you have. Now, you probably have some mutual funds that perform at about 2% per year. So that doesn't break down to very much. That's not going to get you towards that $5,500. That will maybe get you $40 a month. So that's not great.
Well, but also, you know, this is cash flow that you have that you can live off of.
Right.
And so with a mutual fund, I don't know, can you live off of that?
You'd have to sell it every month, right?
Every month you'd have to sell,
What you have coming into your checking account from your assets, right? So if you're selling stock every month, selling mutual funds, and that is performing, well, okay, then that's done something for you, right? But we're talking about paying into a monthly freedom number, not an annual freedom number. So to do this with stock accounts will be very hard. To do this with an asset like your house, also very hard. Your house doesn't pay you every month.
It's a liability.
Right? It's a liability. You're paying to live in it. Even if it's appreciated in value, you still can't take that money and pay your $5,500 freedom number. So whatever it is that you've gotten performing assets. Now, it also could be things like a note to a small business or an investment in a local farm, and they do pay you monthly. That's great, right? But we're talking about monthly performing assets. So what is ours? What's our bag?
It's buy and hold real estate.
Right.
So of course, you know, we love buy and hold, and mostly every property we own is single family. Right around that $45,000-$50,000 mark is basically what we pay for them. So given that number of about a $50,000 purchase price on a property that's producing between, for round numbers for the purposes of this cheat sheet, $700 a month in cash flow, right? So $700 a month is coming in from a tenant who's paying every month to live in that property. Now we've got $700 a month from that one property. That's our first performing asset.
All right. So we're going to take that as our sort of baseline performing asset. Okay. It's conservative. Now, $700 a month is obviously not what we get to keep as the investor, because there's a cost of holding that, right? We pay
taxes.
We pay insurance. We take a conservative amount out for vacancy and repairs. So we take 40% out of our money every month and sort of put that away for those expenses. It's very conservative, but it's still worth doing.
And we have a whole video. Of course, if you're new to the channel and you've not subscribed or gone back to any of our old episodes, we have a whole series on how to find ROI or return on investment. So that 40% comes out, and that's how we get our ROI number. And then we can dive deeper into those things. But in this, you know, in this episode, we're not going to. But just knowing that 40% is a really conservative number. I often say that, you know, people make fun of me for how conservative that number is, because, you know, in the properties we invest in, you're not going to have major repairs that are going to eat up that amount of money. You're also not going to have that many vacancies that you're going to eat up that amount of money.
Right.
And taxes are incredibly low where we invest in our properties. So again, that 40% is like a not even a worst case. It's like a beyond worst case scenario.
Well, it's a conservative number.
Right.
It's a very conservative number. Okay. So we had that $700 performing asset, and we're going to take away 40% of it, right? So what we're left over in cash flow towards our freedom number for us is $420 per month, okay? So now we know one performing asset gives us towards our freedom number $420. So now we just divide to see how many assets we need in order to hit that freedom number. So we take 5,500.
Right, that was
I'm
the
doing math.
Okay, So I'm trying to dumb it down though for some non-math people like myself. So 5,500, remember that was the number that was what your family needed to run on every month, right? $5,500.
Right. Okay. So we take the $5,500, we divide it by one performing asset at $420, and we get 13.09. Okay.
13.
So that's 13 performing assets that you need performing similar to the one that we calculated in order to hit your freedom number. And that's it, right? So doesn't matter what that performing asset is. For us, though, we are very familiar with the single family home that performs at about this rate, okay? And so we know now we need 13 of them, 13 assets. 13 is not the freedom number. 5,500 was your freedom number. And however you get there, kudos to you. We're trying to help you figure it out with the way we use performing assets. But let's say you had a note, right? You had a note or an investment in something else that was performing at that same rate. You'd need 13 of those, mm-hmm. right? Whatever. The point is that you know now how many you need in order to get there.
Right. Now, the reason I believe real estate's the number one way is because, yes, if you're holding a note, you know, maybe you have a 10-year note or even a 5-year note that you're holding, right? It's performing for you at 8 or 7 or 9%, whatever. Great. But it's a finite number, right? Yeah. So after 5 years, guess what? That cash flow, gone. Right? Unless you figure out a way to reinvest it, or you make it, you're proactive, and of course you're reinvesting it and making it cash flow again. But there's a finite point to that. So you want to have that consistent cash flow for the rest of your life. And yeah. That's where rental real estate, I think, has a major advantage over notes. I know a lot of people who have notes in their portfolio, and they have a few to balance out the real estate. Real estate is number one, and you have a few notes scattered in. Great. It's not a bad idea. You know, and
yeah,
you've got 20,000 sitting there. You've got, maybe you own 10 rental properties and you have an additional 20,000 sitting in a bank account doing nothing for you. You could lend that out to a real estate investor on a short-term flip. You know, they want to flip a house and they need 20,000 for a bridge loan. You know, lend it out at 8%, you know, and or 12% for 6 months, you know, and you make a quick return on that cash. It's just sitting
and
there.
And you're lecturing me about dumbing it down. Right. You're going down a tangent.
Okay. I thought that was pretty dumb.
You know what? I sort of like to think of real estate as performing assets for mm-hmm. dummies because it's so tangible, right? Like, you know,
right. That's
exactly
why I do it.
Right. We're dummies. So like, we just don't have any other way to buy performing assets. We don't know how to trade art. We don't know how to cherry pick stocks.
No, what you know,
we don't know how to, please just let me finish a point. I'm going to strangle you today. What is with you? No more caffeine. So what we know, what we understand is single family home real estate. And so, you know, for a lot of people, that's just the easiest way to sort of visualize what a performing asset is. Unless you've got someone knocking down your door saying, I really would like a note for my jewelry store up the road. And you know how to evaluate that. I don't know.
Right. If you're like the stock market guys, right? I heard it recently said that unless you're a high efficiency trader, one of these guys that sells stocks within milliseconds,
yeah.
You know, these guys that use computer algorithms on Wall Street, those are the people making the money, not the mom and pop that have a 401k that they're holding it for 40 years. Those are the people that aren't making the money.
Yeah.
The people are these high efficiency traders, HETs, and they sit there with their computers and they literally have these algorithms that are trading stuff. They're only owning stocks for like a millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can make some money in the stock market. Are you good at that?
Not to be confused with your high-efficiency washing machine.
Exactly.
Something different.
So, yeah. So buying performing assets. And you might say to yourself, okay, how do I get to 13 of these things? Well, we have all sorts of resources here on the channel because, you know, money – if you talk to any high-level investor, money is one part of this whole equation. And money for a lot of people is the thing that holds them back. And yet – money for most high-level investors, they've never even used any of their own money in the first place.
Yeah.
They borrowed the money in order to buy their first batch of real estate.
Right. So the freedom number cheat sheet is sort of a like snapshot of what you need. It's not really a plan for how you're going to get there because then it would be an 80-page book, right? Or even more. So
coming soon, by the way.
From?
Clayton Morris.
Oh, okay. That's amazing. You have something to announce?
No. I've been, you know, that's something that we're
right.
that I'm outlining and would like to, further in the battle plan for you to get there. But yeah, this is just understanding your numbers is the freedom number cheat sheet, putting it down on paper so you actually have a, you know, have an idea, and then you've got a plan. And we like to say there's not a one-size-fits-all approach. We bought properties borrowing from our 401k, which is an awesome strategy, not withdrawing, borrowing from your 401k, totally different. We bought properties using our self-directed IRA.
Yes.
We've bought properties using cash on hand. We've bought properties using stocks that we cashed out. Mm-hmm. We've used private loans.
So, right. So that's what this YouTube channel is for. Our YouTube channel, our podcast, our blog, like, we can teach you all kinds of tricks, right? And that's what investors do, is just go and say, what's my next trick that I'm going to execute on? And so that's not for the freedom number cheat sheet. The freedom number cheat sheet is for you to wrap your head around where you want to get to, where's your sort of stopping point, and when you're truly free, and just to imagine, like, what's the life that you would lead if you were free. So for us, it's my husband making me do podcasts all the time. Mm-hmm. That's
freedom.
Not freedom. Actually, I'm not at my freedom number.
That's freedom, baby. See? Would you like to go back to work?
No. This is work.
So anyway, thank you so much for subscribing. If you want to go ahead and download the cheat sheet, the brand new version of it, it's, like I said, it's free. Go over to morrisinvest.com/freedom. That's morrisinvest.com/freedom. And the cheat sheet is there for you, free to download and kind of go through and work on some of these performing assets for you. We publish this show multiple times per week. We're starting to do a live stream every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern time, which I'm super excited about, on the video channel. So mm-hmm. hopefully you can dial us up and subscribe there as well, so we can do Q&A and answer any real estate questions. We usually have a big topic that we focus on every week. So in the meantime, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, everyone, and we'll see you next time here on The Big Show. Bye, everyone.
Bye.